Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
More. Look, I said yes to the artillery, but, you know, make sure it's at least 18 to 30 guns and all the ammunition to go with them, including precision rounds. And if we don't have them, buy them. But do anything to give Ukrainian defense forces a chance to defend themselves against a brutal onslaught, which is going to continue until it succeeds.
The former chief of Canada's defense staff, General Rick Hillier, on this program a couple of months ago, talking about this country and the rest of the world, the Western world providing support to Ukraine. A couple of days ago, we actually had the current chief of the defense staff, General Ayer, visiting Kyiv. I think that's significant. But I tweeted out earlier at the Roy Green Show, I'm absolutely horrified by four photographs that have appeared on Twitter. And the person posting the tweets, the photographs, is Christopher Miller. It's at Christopher JM. And he writes, Marlinka was once a quiet bedroom community of 10,000 residents and tree-lined streets just west of Donetsk. We'll now have to refer to it in the past tense because the Russian army has wiped it off the face of the earth. These images show an apocalyptic scene incompatible with life. And there are four photographs there, and I warn you, if you look at them, they will affect you. And you think about the fact that people lived there. It is absolutely horrendous. It is gruesome. And that's what Russia is doing. So let's talk about what's going on in Ukraine. And there's talk, and there have been news stories, I'm sure you're aware, that fierce fighting is continuing between Russian and Ukrainian troops in another virtually destroyed city named Bakhmut. And Oleksandr Sherba is back with us, former Ukrainian ambassador to Austria, author of Ukraine versus Darkness, Undiplomatic Thoughts. Oleksandr, thank you for joining us. Those photographs are just gruesome. It's horrific to think that this was committed, these acts were committed against the civilian population. And I imagine that those scenes that are in those photographs are just repeating themselves over and over in your country.
Yes, unfortunately, for Russia, liberating some town or village and obliterating it is just the same thing. And you saw on these pictures, obliterating literally. It's just the black desert. Yes. What they're doing to these towns of Donbas that they are supposedly liberating or saving from Ukraine. I mean, the level of, you know, hypocrisy, evil kind of hypocrisy coming from Russia is just unbelievable. So, yeah, I was shocked by these pictures too. Thank you for mentioning them.
Yeah, they look like an opening scene from a terrifying science fiction movie, except they're very real.
Mm-hmm. And they're, hadn't you resisted, it still would be a flourishing town. But it's a part of this, you know, hypocrisy, because imagine how much less casualties and destruction would have been if the world gave up to Hitler or to all other, you know, evil invaders in history. We cannot just put up with, you know, giving up our freedom and our lives and our language, our culture, everything. Yeah. We have to defend our land. So it's all on the invaders.
You know, it took me about 30 seconds, no more than that, to find an example of very similar destruction in Syria that Putin and his army were responsible for maybe 10 or 12 years ago. It's right there. It's his playbook. He also did it in Chechnya. But what we're seeing in Ukraine is absolutely devastating. Can you give us an idea of what's happening in Bakhmut? Most people have heard the name. Maybe we've seen some video. We know of the constant fighting that's going on, and the Ukrainian troops are facing an onslaught from the Russians, waiting for the heavy weapons from the West. But can you give us a bit of a perspective on Bakhmut and how important that particular fight is?
Let me first say a couple of words about Syria and Chechnya. It just breaks my heart every time I think about those poor people, because we have the West backing us up. We have the support. We have weapons to defend ourselves. Those poor people in Chechnya and in Syria, they had nothing, actually. And I just cannot begin to comprehend the horror of what they were exposed to. About Bakhmut, we have been saying for a while, and Russians were actually saying the same, that the big Russian offensive is coming at some point in February or in January, February. And after that, depending how things go, Ukraine will start the counteroffensive. And it turns out that this big offensive, it looks like that at least right now, came down to this one town of 90,000 inhabitants, 60 kilometers from the line where Russia stood on February 24th last year. And they are basically using all the manpower, all the tanks, whatever, to take this town. It's horror there. And yes, they are slowly moving ahead since last May. They are inching forward. Every morning, every Ukrainian family, every Ukrainian begins with, looking up Bakhmut, what is happening there. Have we given up that town or not? It's very, very difficult. The fighting is fierce there. We hear that our Western partners are asking us, why don't you give up this town? The answer is it's a part of Ukrainian land. When the time comes that we cannot defend it, we will give it up and withdraw to different positions. But, oh my God, it's going on since May, and Russia is using all what it has to occupy this town, and we are still hanging on there.
Yeah, some of the fighting that I've seen, I've just seen some videos. It is extremely fierce, and which leads me to wonder how much are you receiving in the way of, I don't know how much you can tell us about this, but how much are you receiving in the way of heavy weapons from the West, which you've been promised, including the tanks? They've got four more coming from this country, and tanks from the U.S. and tanks from Germany, tanks from Poland. The heavy weapons, are they starting to arrive in the numbers that you need them?
Well, tanks, these promised tanks, haven't been sighted on the front line yet, at least not to my knowledge. But since yesterday, there is this video that goes viral. It's from somewhere in Poland where it's taken from a drone, and it's showing all the amount of heavy machinery, military machinery that we received, at least in Poland right now, and it's intended for Ukraine. And it's impressive. It's a lot. So we are right now, what counts is we have what it takes to defend ourselves. But once this heavy machinery arrives in Ukraine, and it must be really, really soon, we will be ready for counteroffensive. And that will be the decisive moment of this war.
You strongly believe that the Ukrainian military will defeat the Russians, don't you?
Absolutely. We we have seen throughout this war, we have seen that Ukrainian military has performed better than expected and Russian military worse than expected. And the dynamic of this war goes from 0% believing in Ukraine's chances and 100% believing in Russia's chances in absolutely, you know, opposed directions. And right now, I think our chances are way higher. And first of all, of course, I see the motivation of our soldiers, of our troops, and I see the motivation of Russians. Of course, they are earning money in this war. Of course, some of them have been brainwashed into believing that we are the Nazis here. But still, the motivation on our side is immensely, immensely bigger.
Alexander, what's the significance of the visit to Kyiv by our Chief of Defense Staff, General Wayne Eyre?
Well, it's immensely important in the way that Canada is showing support. Canada is staying engaged in Ukraine. We know, and we are immensely grateful for, 3,000 tons of military help already provided, 200 armored military vehicles already provided. But, it's a war. What happened yesterday, the most important thing is what's coming next. And we know that even Leopard 2 tanks have been mentioned as a possibility that they could be provided by Canada. So it's very important because this counter-offensive is coming. So definitely I don't know the details, and I shouldn't be knowing the details of these military negotiations, but it's a very good thing that they're happening.
Yeah. So there's another story I want to ask you about, and it's been floating around. It's been on page 1, page 2, page 3, if we refer to the old newspaper days, as far as getting attention is concerned. But the story continues to insist there are competing interests at the top of the Ukraine military. Not everybody's on the same page. Is that true?
It's in the Canadian press?
Well, it's in various news services.
Yeah, well, actually, we have one military leader in whom Ukrainian people have absolute confidence. It's General Zaluzhny, our commander-in-chief, Supreme Commander-in-Chief, and he has full support from President Zelensky. So there are rumors about, some other general who is also very, very popular with troops and with the population, that he might make a competition for General Zaluzhny. But again, it's mostly on Russian, Telegram channels. I don't know whether this is what you mean, because in Ukraine it's not an issue these days. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it could be Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
Now we also have the
The sense here on the ground is that the military unity, military leadership is absolutely united. That the rumors about, somebody in the political leadership being envious of General Zaluzhny popularity, they are just that, rumors. Quite frankly, if I knew something, I would have told you. Believe me, I'm not, trying to hide anything from you. It's not a topic here in Ukraine.
All right. The Russian deputy foreign minister, a couple of days ago, warned of, quote, catastrophic consequences, end quote, if the West arms and supports Ukraine any further. Not surprising to hear that. But how do you interpret that warning? Is that just a lot of noise, or is he starting to edge back to the discussion about potential use of nuclear weapons?
Oh, God, it's just noise.
Just noise.
They have been saying this for so long, and first, if you do that, we will use, it will have catastrophic consequences, then that. In reality is that Russia is warning the West against escalation while it's escalating every day 24/7 here on the ground. So they are just afraid because they see that they are losing the war. I'm rather confident that at this stage they won't do the stupid thing of, you know, using nuclear weapons against Ukraine, and by far, of course, not against the West. That's just empty talk, because that would be the end of Russia's support in countries like China and India. The global South won't see Russia with the same eyes. It's just the attempt to intimidate you guys in the West.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. I'm quite sure it's not going to work. Although there are some people in Western countries who are saying there has to be an accounting for the money that is spent in Ukraine. But that, you hear that, you knew that was going to happen. Once those, we have about a minute left here, Alexander. Once the heavy weapons arrive in large numbers and you can deploy them against the Russians, that's going to be quite the sight when the Ukrainian military starts to move back toward the Russians and takes the offensive away from them. It'll be very interesting to see, and it'll be gratifying to see after, again, looking at those photographs of that community. It's just horrifying.
It will be at the decisive moment, and we are absolutely, looking forward to seeing our army going on the offensive.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.